Good evening and welcome to Release Your Wings. I'm Dan Bagley and tonight I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha. We're talking about attentiveness tonight, paying attention, mindfulness, and how it can give us more power in our conversations and our lives. So, Shireen, how are you tonight?
Very well, thank you.
Good. So when we're talking about mindfulness, attentiveness, what comes to your mind?
I was thinking mainly the different benefits and during the day, the different times I really have to pay attention. And so one of the things that I was thinking about was when I started paying attention mm-hmm. to different tasks I was doing on my path, like more intentionality, how the excuses I gave myself why I shouldn't be paying attention.
Aha. Uh-huh. So give me an excuse why we won't tune into what's in front of us or what we're doing.
One of the excuses is that I'm too busy.
Mm-hmm.
And that excuse I used to give myself all the time, I'm too busy.
Right, right.
The reason why I need to not eat my dinner with attentiveness is I need to talk on the phone and work on the computer and make sure that if something else is happening and think about something else because I'm really busy.
So what we're talking about here is multitasking. Perhaps people in our audience are saying, well, I'll read my magazine, watch this, and while I'm eating dinner, etc. That's really, we all slip into this if we're not paying attention, right?
Right. And so what I've noticed over the years is that actually that was an illusion I was buying into.
That you were busy or that you were being productive?
Both.
Yeah.
That while I'm doing a particular task, for example, I'm eating, and mm-hmm. the excuse I gave myself was I'm too busy, so I yeah. can't do it. So the illusion I was buying into is I'm being more productive because I'm able to talk on the work on the computer and eat and talk on the phone and do all of those things. And the other illusion was that that this kind of busyness mm-hmm. was more important than my attentiveness.
Ah, uh-huh. So probably something we see in today's headlines would be that people who feel they can drive and text or drive and talk on the phone, and I think we've all been behind someone who is clearly doing one of those things, who suddenly we're in traffic, they're in the fast lane, and they slow way, way down. You say, why is this person driving 10 miles below the speed limit? And then you say, oh, they're talking on their cell phone. And they're in their own little world.
Right.
So here's the question. Does non-attentiveness possibly cost our lives?
Especially in case of texting and driving.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't encourage that of anyone. The thing that I've noticed is whether you're texting and driving, talking on the cell phone and driving, or it's as simple as eating. Mm-hmm. Because eating, you're not hurting anyone, so
right.
to speak, when you're eating and doing other things except yourself. What I've noticed is that actually you are more productive if you're attentive to your food
mm-hmm.
because you ingest your food with a lot more love and that love goes into the body. And the other thing is when you do a task and you just do that particular task, I feel you're more productive because you are more clear. There's more clarity.
So I read recently that there are several rules for not overeating. One is always sit down to eat, which means you stop and focus on your food.
Right.
Don't eat standing up
right.
in your kitchen. That becomes mindless very quickly. Another one was to actually pay attention to how the food tastes with every bite.
Right.
And
right.
that is, again, mindfulness or attentiveness to what we're doing. And in that way, you'll eat less because it will be more satisfying.
Right, right.
So
yes, eating in silence and eating in that attentiveness is very important to not only to not be overweight like you are implying, but also for the mind to be peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever thoughts you're putting in your food, then that is what you are taking in.
In a funny way, you're eating your own thoughts.
Right.
If you're having upsetting thoughts while you're eating food, then your stomach acids will lean toward that direction.
Right.
That's a little scary.
And the other thing I was thinking is that people feel that in attentiveness, for example, if I am at work and I'm just paying attention to one task and I'm not answering the phone, I'm not checking my email, I'm not checking my iPod, whatever it is, that my motivation and my drive comes down. But what I've noticed is that when I really pay attention to whatever is in front of me, that my vitality increases.
Yeah.
That there is motivation for itself is not really useful, or the drive itself in itself is not very useful. That we need to have some kind of a virtue behind it, because otherwise it gets to be very self-destructive very soon.
Give an example of how that happens.
I feel that when I am when I'm overdriven about something, that I, at the expense of my own health, at the expense of my relationships, at the expense of my happiness, I tend to go after it. But actually, I forget that for happiness, I'm doing this.
So in a business context, sometimes we confuse business with busyness.
Right.
And I can tell I'm productive because I'm so harried. I've noticed a lot of people will tend to confuse that. Look how hard I'm working, therefore I must be productive.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel we have to really rethink what productive is at this point. But the other thing about attention is I felt this kind of attention was just a precursor to me paying attention to God. To me paying attention to that voice, my divine connection. And in that attentiveness, that I was able to actually listen to what God had to say to me. And there were so many gifts in that listening, in that attentiveness to God.
So if we're too loud, we can't hear the wee small voice. We can't feel the intuition that tells us what's really aligned with our values. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. It's funny you should say that, because I feel attentiveness is a precursor to intuitiveness. And intuitiveness is a precursor to attitude. And I feel attitude is really everything. That depending on the situation, I can change my attitude, but if I change my attention, I can change my attitude.
So we tend to see what we look for. So if we're looking for the highest values in our lives, or at least being attentive to the highest values in our lives, then we naturally align better than if we're drowning it out with noise and distractions. Is that?
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, actually, the visual I was thinking is actually when I was walking in, I was watching in the TV TV studio that there were all these knobs. And I feel we have many mental knobs. And the mental knobs, you could say, they're categorized in two categories. The ones that really give you happiness and the ones that really take away from your happiness. And inattentiveness is one of the knobs, the chatter, the distraction, all of those, the doubts and the disappointments, and all of that is one knob. And then there's the other set of knobs where you have responsibility and courage and happiness and peace. And I feel when you bring down the volume of these knobs with attention, then you automatically bring up the volume of these knobs.
There's some good brain science behind that. For a long, long time, most psychologists, our people who have studied such things, say we can attend with our frontal lobe, with our consciousness, about 7 plus or minus 2 items at any given time, or units of attention. And so beyond that, we're dropping other things. So if we stay, if we're into the chatter or into the nonsense or listening to the talk radio while we're trying to work or something like that, we're being pulled away because our cognitive functions just can't handle it all simultaneously.
Right. Actually, I feel we're being too lenient if you say more than two.
Seven plus or minus two. So it's 5 to 9 bits of information.
He must have picked someone else. Because he must have picked really intelligent people, because most people I've noticed really actually can just focus on one or two things.
Yeah.
It's beyond that, you really are shortchanging yourself. Right. You're sabotaging yourself.
Yeah.
And there are many benefits to this. Not just the volume of my chatter and my distraction, all of those goes down, but I feel every second I pay attention to, that second I get help. I get help from God. Because like I was saying, that I have to bring my attention to from these mundane things. But that's the beginning of this connection with God, and then I get help.
So I can hear some people's mindset saying, if I don't plan what I'm going to say, I won't know how to say it in the moment that I'm saying it. And what I'm hearing you say might be closer to, if I stay attentive to the situation at hand, my intuition, my deeper meaning, my deeper wisdom of sorts.
You're right.
Will emerge.
Yes, it will emerge. And I feel when I go deeper like that, the right things will come up.
I see.
Attentiveness helps us to get the right things up.
So attentiveness in some ways takes some trust that I'm not losing ground by paying attention to what I'm doing right now.
Right, right. You know, it's funny. There is trust, and also I feel we have to rethink our priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about being right. Really, I don't think you, not only not do you get happiness when you go around thinking you're right or you give happiness to others, but it's about being authentic. It's about being in the moment. And so I think if I shift my priority from being right to being authentic, then I, whatever I'm paying attention to, that authenticity will emerge.
Good. I think that piece of it, so now you're not only being authentic, you're so tuned into what you're doing that it's appropriate no matter what really comes out.
Right, because your innate wisdom emerges. You know, we all have an innate wisdom, we all have innate courage, we all have innate goodness. And so if I'm paying attention to myself, and actually I'm not getting distracted by this person or that person or that person, and I'm paying attention to myself and I'm paying attention to what God has to say to me, then all of those innate qualities automatically emerge.
Okay, now I'm going to stretch it because you have it external versus internal, but I think some of the paying attention is to tune out those other knobs you're talking about. That self-talk is, oh, I should have said it differently. Oh, I'm such an idiot. I mean, that kind of thing pulls from our attentiveness. We've lost trust in ourselves. We've lost trust in our higher good and our ability to reach it without contorting.
Right, okay? Right. Right. The thing about attention I've noticed is, and I've noticed this all across the board all the time, is the quality of my attention decides the quality of my thoughts. And the quality of my thoughts decides the quality of my actions.
So how does one monitor oneself to be more attentive?
You can start with simple things,
mm-hmm.
Like when you're eating, you pay attention, you do just one thing, whatever it is. But also, I feel meditation is a form of attentiveness,
mm-hmm.
that you start meditating. And so what you're doing is you're going away from paying attention to physical things. Is in meditation, you're paying attention to yourself, to your innate goodness, your innate qualities.
So that's when you're doing something, do just one thing. Meditation will give you power to increase these things.
Right.
Good. Anything else?
There are some excuses I feel we give ourselves of why we are not paying attention. But I feel, instead of going into the excuses, I feel that I want to stress that we do increase our vitality when we pay attention. We increase our clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we increase the quality of my actions.
So it sounds to me like attentiveness is staying in the here and now and not getting distracted by the past, not getting distracted by the future, and not getting distracted by things that are not relevant to what we want to achieve. Is that right?
Right. That's such an important point you brought up about not getting distracted by the past. I feel most times it's like we're feeling guilty about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel when you start paying attention, all of these worry and this guilt, you know, worrying about the future or feeling guilty about the past, they start falling away. So it's not like you are going away from these things, but the act of attentiveness, especially on your original self, on your innate qualities, that act of attention itself takes these out.
So, in wrapping up on this, what I'd like for you to do is repeat that the power of our attentiveness then affects...
The power of our attentiveness affects the quality of our thoughts, and then the quality of our thoughts affects the quality of our actions.
So, there you have it. our attentive thought tonight is, stay focused on what's most important in the here and the now, and perhaps we'll enjoy everything just a little bit better. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.